direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
That's right, guys. That jam you just heard was the theme from the Commodore 64 game Commando by Ron Hubbard. Not to be confused with L. Ron Hubbard. One of my all-time favorite video game themes. That song used to get me so jacked.
Commando.
I used to get
just
so
like
excited.
Are.
Commando was an arcade game. It was the Commodore 64 port. Had that. Listen to that.
That's a banger, man.
It is. That's a bop, as the kids would say. A banger.
Banger.
Does it make you just want to run through waves and waves of animated enemies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I feel like you guys aren't. Yeah. It's all right. Okay, let's talk.
I mean,
about
if I was like really old, you know, and I was like
really
back
old,
in the day,
super old.
Yeah, I'd be down.
So old.
I'd be down to shoot some guys.
Floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this episode. This episode is going to be. First of all, we have a special guest. Hello, Aaron. Aaron's been with us.
Hello.
Before. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Aaron, we usually have you're a resident DC guy, but this time we have you here for a different reason. We did an episode, episode 230, which are called Orchestral Maneuvers. It was all about video game music, and it got such a great response from everybody. And Jake felt like he had much more to say.
He's underrepresented.
He was underrepresented because we had a guest that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, let's just do part two. I don't know if we're going to do this as an official part two, if it'll be a bonus episode, whatever. But we're going to take some of the ideas that Raul gave us in his segment, and we're going to run with them, and we're gonna continue with our discussion of video game music. But first, before we do that,
yes,
shortly before we went to press, Aaron sent me a text, and he said, you need to see the preview for the new Super Smash Brothers. And let me ask you this. Are you one who says Super Smash Brothers? Or do you say Super Smash Bros?
Or do you just say Smash?
It depends on the situation.
It's situational.
Yeah, but for the most part, I just say Smash Bros.
Okay.
I don't even say Super, just Smash Bros.
Smash Bros?
Yeah. All right,
what do you say, Jake?
Let's call it Smash.
Justine, what do you say? Smash?
Let me smash.
Super Smash Brothers?
I've never in my life had to say it.
Looking at it now, what would you say?
It sounds weird when I think about it, because I would say Super Smash Brothers, and I feel like that's so proper.
That's the way you want to say it.
I don't want to say it. Like, yes. I want to be cool.
Especially the new one.
Smash.
No.
Especially the new one is Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's a lot to say, you know?
Patrick,
I would
what
say,
do you say
it that way.
You say Smash. Smash 5.
You say Bros?
No.
Is there a period?
Smash Ultimate.
Is there
yeah,
a
Smash
period
Ultimate.
After the after
yeah.
the Bros?
Yeah.
Then it's Brothers.
Yeah.
You don't say Bros, you say Brothers. Okay, let's... Come on, guys.
And that's what the announcer says in the beginning.
What does he say?
Super Smash Brothers.
There you go. Then that's what you say. Okay? I'm glad we could put that to rest.
Yeah.
All right.
There's nothing to rest.
You millennials. All right, now let's talk about what did you guys think of that preview? I saw Patrick was watching it when I walked in here. I looked over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It was gorgeous.
It's fantastic.
This is on the Nintendo Switch.
On Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
Coming out December 7th.
3DS?
Not 3DS. Switch. Come on.
No 3DS?
No
3DS. What about the Wii U?
Switch.
Oh,
Wii
God.
U?
Can I get it on the Wii U?
Get out.
Only Switch.
Only
can't
Switch.
I can't get it on the Wii U?
A digital scale down instead of a an HD remake.
So what did you guys see in Smash Brothers Ultimate that piqued your interest? What
so
it?
Much on this new direct.
So we're talking about the newest announcement that came out today.
Or just in
right?
general.
What was the newest announcement today?
So they announced a couple new more new characters and then a lot of... features for the game as a whole.
Let's mm-hmm. talk about it.
It's great. I think on the character side, I was actually really excited to learn that we have two Belmonts from the Castlevania series, which I think was very anticipated because we're on the fifth iteration of the game and we had nothing from Castlevania, which is a really popular title, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the games a lot.
It goes back to the original Nintendo.
Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of people asking for, you know, Castlevania characters forever.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting also when I looked, they had a couple of characters from Splatoon, which is huge on the Switch. It's a huge hit. It's a huge hit in my house.
I love Splatoon.
My daughter's obsessed with it.
Yeah, they announced that with the initial announcement of Smash. They had Inkling and Ridley announced.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice. All right. And how many players can we play on this Nintendo Switch?
You can play up to 8.
What?
Mm-hmm. Eight
That's
multiplayer.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. The original thing's only four, but they said that all of the levels are actually compatible with eight player. So you can play on any of the 103 stages that they have now.
There's 103
stages. 103.
How many stages?
103.
103.
Uh-huh. And each one of the stages can actually be turned into an Omega one, which is basically just like a flat plane where you can fight. Or they have the Battlefield one, where it's just a flatter, it's a smaller stage. And they have two platforms and then like a platform up on top. Wow. So each one of them has that. So it's like 300 stages, if you count that.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all going to be on the glorious Nintendo Switch.
Yes, it is.
Which is in 720p. 720i? 720? It's 720, right?
No, it's 10. It's 1080 if you're playing it on your screen, but portable at 720.
Okay.
That's still some good quality,
I think. It is some great quality for portable.
That Switch screen is amazing.
It looks so good.
It really does. I wish I was younger because my eyes are bad.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to play on a screen. Even though it's like a nice size screen, I'd still rather have it on the TV in front of me. But man, that thing, when you take it portable, it looks amazing.
Octopath Traveler really looks nice on there.
The kid just got that for her birthday. Shout out to the kid. It was her birthday mm-hmm. a couple days ago. She got that game. It looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Octopath?
Yeah. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun.
Is it really good?
Mm-hmm. It's a retro style RPG made in the Unity engine, so it's got really nice lighting effects.
Yeah, the backgrounds are beautiful.
Mm, it's really pretty. And they have some cool features that they added to it, too, to kind of spice things up from a traditional.
How's that soundtrack?
Good. Yeah, I love it. It's really pretty.
All those JRPGs have great soundtracks.
Yeah. Character-wise, the characters are kind of stereotypical.
That's fine.
But, I mean, it's a JRPG. You're not.
I haven't played a good JRPG.
Don't always expect the best out of character development.
I'm waiting for Final Fantasy VII HD remake.
Yes! When are we getting that finally?
That was announced, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
They've got some of the cutscenes out. I've seen some of the cutscenes mm-hmm. out.
I mean, it's the same thing as Kingdom Hearts 3. That was announced, what, like 5 years ago, and we're now getting a release date?
What, yeah, January, right?
Next year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. January, right?
I think so.
I think it's January.
Could be January.
Can I tell you guys, I wasn't as huge into Kingdom Hearts as everybody. I liked it fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it as much as Final Fantasy.
It has a really different combat system. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Some people would say it's a Mickey Mouse combat system.
Oh, my God.
Nobody? Anybody? Hello? It's on. It's working. Okay.
That joke was just
It's on,
goofy.
But it ain't working.
Hello. What?
Hmm?
What did you say?
I said it's on, but it ain't working.
That joke quacks me up, right?
I hate you all.
Sorry.
Let's talk about it.
Smash. All right. Come on now.
When does it come out?
Comes out December 7th.
How many levels?
103 stages.
What have you
Bunch
count
of new characters.
All of the variations of those levels?
About over 300.
What other new characters are you excited about?
They've got Simon and Richter Belmont from the Castlevania series.
Yes.
They've got their Echo Fighters, which are basically just mirror like similar characters to other ones they already have. They've got Dark Samus.
Oh.
We've got Crom from the Fire Emblem series. And they announced King K. Rool from the Donkey Kong series.
Nobody likes him, though.
Excuse me. Did they announce anyone else? I don't think they did.
Aaron
No.
Not in this recent
No.
one.
So back in the original game trailer, they announced Ridley and...
Inkling.
And
Cloud.
Then Daisy.
Or Daisy, yeah.
Cloud was last gen.
Oh. Who's the worst character... Super
the worst character?
Yeah. Peach.
Pichu.
Why?
Because he damages himself with his attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that?
It's like
you don't
Pikachu.
Let your kids do anything.
It's like
That's
Pikachu,
why.
Except worse in every way, and he damages himself whenever he does like
so he's
any
the
special
worst?
Moves. Yeah.
What about Kirby?
Kirby's great.
Kirby's pretty good.
I love Kirby.
What about the guy from Ghosts and Goblins?
Ghosts and Goblins? He's not in here. He's in Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
That's Marvel
versus
Capcom.
He's the worst in that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. What about the guy from Ice Climbers?
Ice Climbers
is really good.
What about the...
I just hope they don't... I'm assuming they're not broken anymore.
No.
They were broken?
In
Melee, there is a trick that you can do where you can,
grab
with both characters. And they were you basically permanently grab them. And you can just keep... You can just basically just keep hitting them until they die.
That sounds like cheating, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is that character? That's my favorite character.
You literally can get it. I don't know how. I've never gotten to do it. But
I've tried it, and I think maybe like 30 seconds to a minute of like just continual attacking.
That's all you need.
Yeah,
it's all you need.
It's obnoxious.
That's like when in Injustice, what is it? Yeah, but Injustice.
The second one or the first one?
In the first one, my daughter figured out that you could, if Batgirl could corner you, there was no way to get out of it. So she would just use Batgirl every time and like throw you into a
just
corner.
Push you into a corner.
And that's it, dude. You could not get out of it.
Sure. Dang.
It sucked.
Yeah, those infinite loop attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Button mashing at its finest.
I did that in Ed and I played Guilty Gear a lot, and I found a character where I can basically just do an infinite combo. Not an infinite combo, but I can basically just push him and keep him into a corner until he dies.
It's like with Marvel vs. Capcom. You used to be able to do it with Spider-Man where you just kept doing his backflip right into them,
yes.
And they couldn't go anywhere.
Or the girl from Mega Man, where she would send out the little robot, the little Lego robots.
You couldn't do anything.
And you couldn't get out of it.
I forget which iteration, but there's one of the Soul Calibers, if you have like Helic, and you get them into a corner, and you can just keep, like, staff jabbing them infinitely.
I loved Keelik.
Staff jabbers. Mm-hmm. You staff jabbing mother lover.
Just push him into a corner and then do a sweep and knock him out of the stage. It's perfect.
That too.
It's perfect.
Oh, God. It's
the perfect crime.
Playing with people like you is why I want to pull my hair out.
That's fine.
Just as a tangent, they did announce that... for the new Tekken game, Tekken 7,
There's a Tekken 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced it.
They announced... Oh, God.
Eddie Gordo. Is Eddie Gordo going to be in it?
I hope so. I liked Eddie Gordo. Oh, God.
Tekken is my favorite fighting game.
Negan. Negan from Walking Dead.
What?
Wait, what? Are you serious?
I saw the article. I thought it was ridiculous.
Of all the character, of anybody in any like show, whatever, why Negan?
I don't know.
Because he has a bat.
He's popular.
But like, it's weird because like it's Tekken. I can expect that for Soul Calibur because they take from like all kinds of media.
I could see them doing that.
But like Tekken, that kind of caught me off guard. Because like Soul Calibur 4 had Darth Vader and Yoda.
This is true.
Okay, here we go. 5, this is from...
And Soul Calibur 3 had like Link and...
From VentureBeat.com. Yeah. 5 fighting game guest characters weirder than Negan in Tekken 7. And this was dated August 6th. You ready?
Yeah.
Hornet the Daytona car in Fighters Mega Mix.
Oh, yeah.
I did hear about that.
I think I've seen a video that kind of explains some of the weird characters you can get.
Yoda in Soul Calibur 4, which you mentioned. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit in Fight Club.
What?
He's wearing the red hat. I'm looking at the picture right now.
Wow.
Bill and Hillary Clinton in Ready to Rumble Boxing Round 2.
Oh, wait, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is that a PS2 title?
It was probably a Dreamcast title.
Oh.
That makes sense.
It's even better.
Captain Planet in Cartoon Network Punch Time Explosion. It's a DS fighting game. And it's kind of like a Smash Brothers ripoff.
Yeah.
And Captain Planet's in it. So how about that?
I like Captain Planet.
He's our hero.
Speaking
He's
of,
gonna take pollution down.
Speaking
to
of menu, Ultimate will have 800 music tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With a total of 28 hours of music.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That is insane.
What's great is each of the maps have a specific series that they're centered around, and you can go into your music menu and you can actually choose any of the songs from the series to play on each of the track or each of the stages.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Because some of them were locked to specific stages. Now they have it where it's just like you have a series playlist and you can choose them based on the stage.
So I can play Gerudo Valley for every stage.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Gerudo Valley, dude. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Have you ever heard of a group called Mariachi Entertainment System?
No.
Oh, you told me about them. Yeah, I listened to their version. I like it a lot.
It's pretty great, right?
Yeah.
Let's listen to that right now. Speaking of video games.
Isn't it crazy?
Oh, wait.
Whoa. Crazy?
You're crazy.
You're crazy. Ooh. Okay.
How about that? Keeping it brown.
It's nice.
Patrick and Justine have completely tuned out.
It's nice. I like
okay.
it.
That's okay. We're still alive.
The other thing that I liked from the announcement on the music side also is you can listen to all the tracks just by themselves. So when you go, I'm assuming when you go portable, yeah, when you go portable, you can just, you know, instead of listening to music on your phone, you can just listen to all, any of the 800 tracks. You have a built-in playlist of video game music.
Vidja.
Yeah, Vidja.
All right, speaking of video game music, Aaron, what is the first video game music you remember being that got in your head that you thought, oh my God, I want to hear this when I'm not playing a video game?
Truthfully, Kingdom Hearts.
Was it Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, yeah. So when I first started playing Kingdom Hearts, I was around the time I first started getting into anime. Mm-hmm. So then... of course, the theme music, which was lyrical, I wanted to go find it and download it so I can put it on my iPod, and then after that, I started listening to the scores, and I like the score for that game.
Which is your favorite? LimeWire to do it?
My favorite.
Did you use LimeWire? Is that what you said?
Oh yeah.
Good old LimeWire.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to get it.
Well, when Napster was around, that was the only way to get stuff like that.
It was Napster, and then it was LimeWire.
People would put stuff like
that. Then it was uTorrent.
And now people just pay for it.
It's very Square Enix.
Yeah.
Definitely, you can definitely tell it's by Square Enix, yeah.
Who is the composer of this?
That's a good question.
Same guy probably from the previous Final Fantasy. That was like 7, maybe.
Need to know. Oh, it's Xavier Wolf.
No.
No, somebody playing.
Was that the composer, Xavier Wolf?
It's the artist.
The artiste.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Artiste.
Did that make you cry? Is that the song?
Tearing up a little bit.
It's tearing up my heart.
See, you guys grew up in you guys grew up in a great era where you guys already had the lush orchestral scores. I could do everything 8-bit.
Well, I mean, your question was what was the first time, but I mean, when I revisit games that I used to play when I was a child, I would say one soundtrack that I would listen to and would probably like to own, actually, is a Sonic the Hedgehog soundtrack. That's some really good 8-bit.
Rolling. Oh, different one. Sorry.
Sorry.
There was no words,
He's
Jake.
The fastest thing alive.
Rolling around at
the time.
Yeah, Green Hill Zone.
Green Hill Zone, the casino one's great too.
Listen to that.
The sound design and the sound effects for the entire game is great. I mean, music aside. You should pull up the boss battle themes. That's a good track.
For Sonic?
Yeah.
All right, let's look for it. I'm trying to find the composer so we can give this guy.
Sonic?
Mm-hmm.
We don't give credit.
The composer for Sonic the Hedgehog, I have it pulled up here, hold on, is Misato Nakamura.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Dee 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 dee.
He is the bassist and songwriter of the J-pop band Dreams Come True.
What?
Hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I love that song.
It's like a little bass. I love the bass. I'm just getting frustrated watching this person.
It kind of reminds me of Contra also.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. There are some, if you played these games early enough, you guys maybe were kind of like in the, you know, like you said, these are games from your childhood. So you guys were kind of in that overlap.
Yeah.
Where you still had some 8-bit, but then we're starting to move to CDs.
Yeah.
We're starting to get different scores and stuff. Maybe not a full soundtrack, but maybe better music stings or using actual strings and things like that. So, who was the composer of that? One more time. I'm sorry.
It is.
Nakamura was the last name, right?
Yeah. It's Masato Nakamura.
Masato.
Oh, there it is. Here we go. He was born in 1959. He plays the bass.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder we have so many of those songs. That's awesome. Yeah, he has a lot of video games to his credit, mostly in the Sonic
franchise.
In the Sonic chise, as they say. So you wanted to talk about a particular composer.
I did.
Jake, who did you want to mention?
Or more so a specific company. My favorite games growing up were games by Rareware.
Oh, yeah.
My first one that got me introduced to it was Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
Then I played 2 and 3. But my favorite composer is probably Grant Kirkhope, who composed a lot of the N64 Rare games. So Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie,
Conker.
Donkey Kong 64, Conker.
Diddy Kong Racing?
Diddy Kong Racing. He has Conker's a very, he has a very specific style to him, which I absolutely love. He also did a, I can't remember the name of it, but he worked on a like an indie game.
Perfect Dark?
Someone. Wasn't Perfect. Did he work on Perfect Dark? Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
Perfect Dark dual CD soundtrack is to his credit.
Hmm.
Yep. He has Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, mm-hmm. Viva Pinata.
Oh, for the Xbox?
Oh, yeah.
Donkey Kong 1960. Yeah, Donkey Kong 1964. Ah, I want to play that. Donkey Kong 64.
Uh-huh.
Kingdoms of Amalur. Another game called Desktop Dungeons.
That was a more recent one.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth.
And I don't think he worked on Yooka-Laylee. I don't remember.
It doesn't show up here, but.
I don't think so.
Damn.
He's a British video game composer.
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely fantastic. You really can't go wrong with any of his stuff. I really like one that he did on Banjo-Kazooie. FreeZZ Peak is a really cool one. I'm trying to think of what is the other one. Can't think of the stages right now. That one's prop. That's just the one that always speaks. Always
oh,
pops
I
out
love
of me.
This one. Mm-hmm. It's very MIDI.
Yeah, this is a cartridge game, so you don't really have the. That also kind of harkens back to some like classic cartoon music, mm-hmm. almost. You know, sounds very Tom and Jerry or very Warner Brothers. I
yeah.
love it.
Super great. The one where he does, not Rust Bucket Bay. Crap, I can't remember the first one. There's the first level that is in. It's the...
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You go into the treasure chest to get in?
Yeah.
It's not Rust Bucket Bay. That's the...
I don't remember what that's called. It's been a while since I've played that.
Can't recall.
Banjo-Kazooie. But you want... Yeah. That's... I like that theme. That's very...
Yeah, he just has a really unique style, and he's kind of... He kind of gives that... Like, he has that feeling of, like, little quirkiness, little charm to a lot of the Rareware games that he did, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, and they were... At that time, they were cranking out, like, a lot of hit games.
Mm-hmm. They were basically the most... Like, one of the best companies for making platformers.
And they pretty much... Most of their stuff on N64 really helped kind of carry the... aside from... You know, that was a time when Nintendo... Nintendo does this a lot where they'll make a video game system and they'll be like, well, we're only going to release our games for it. And mm-hmm. not really a lot of people develop for it. But it seemed like a lot of those games were coming out on the N64.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those games, they really kind of helped solidify the N64's like lifespan with a lot of their games.
Let me ask you a question, Renee. You just walked into the studio. Do you have favorite video game music? That's our topic today.
Oh, I always like listening to Ocarina of Time from time to time.
There you go.
That Koji Kondo music.
Yeah. And then other than that, maybe something, it's always nostalgic for me. It's like, or from Mario, Super Mario 64 as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I like that soundtrack,
Super
too.
Super Mario 64 soundtrack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks a lot, Renee.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you for being our special guest today.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
Renee's also, here. One more I want to point out.
Ahead.
It's from Donkey Kong Country 2. It's called Sticker Bush Symphony, I want to say. I'm not kidding.
Sticker Brush.
Sticker Brush Symphony.
Brush, not Bush, Jay.
It is probably one of my favorite tracks in video games. Just, it's so interesting and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. This is putting me in the mind of I'm blowing on a cartridge, mm-hmm. putting it in.
Sounds like I'm playing Echo.
Oh yeah.
You said Echo?
Yeah.
Like Echo the Dolphin? Oh yeah. My god.
Sega? I still have that game.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. My favorite. That's the song that always that like stuck in my head after playing Donkey Kong Country 2. So I would always try to play through it, but my cartridge didn't work. It wouldn't let me save. So I would try to push through the entire game without saving in one single session.
Oh wow.
And I can never get to it, and like I'd always get stuck on this one. And then there was the what world was it? It was like the Carnival World. It was like that giant beehive
yeah.
level that I always got stuck at for some reason.
I love it.
So great. They also do, there's a band, I think it's called Dirty Monkey Business, I think, that does covers of the entire Donkey Kong Country 2 soundtrack.
This is from Echo, The Tides of Time.
Oh, so good. It's like the first level song that's really good.
So I found a list, the 100 best video game songs of all time. Let's dig into this a little bit. Number one, Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight does have a great
music. Yeah.
Shovel Knight, original song. Let's see where some of the stuff that we've talked about. Super Mario 64 comes in at number 11. Dire, Dire Docks.
What about that GoldenEye soundtrack?
Oh, Serious Monkey Business. I found it. Ding, 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 ding.
Let's see. Justine would hate it.
We got Bomberman. Panzer, DuckTales, The Moon.
Told you DuckTales is on there.
Somebody brought that up last time.
I didn't.
Let me go to Twitter real quick, because you guys talk amongst yourselves really quick.
Okay.
There were people that we didn't get to last time who talked about
they
submitted
upset.
Some stuff. They didn't get upset, but we wanted to.
I mean,
to.
They were kind of pissed. The Twitter riots were out of control. All
right, hold on. We had Twitter riots. There are people down there.
The riots of Twitter.
Medical supplies.
Twitter riots of 2018.
There were people down there. Come on.
Bow, 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 bow. Oh, shit. I hate this boss fight.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are we listening to?
Listening? Playing Sonic.
You're playing Sonic right now?
Yeah.
While not
in
engaging.
I'm enjoying.
I'm in the mood to play Sonic. All right, let me go all the way back to last week here. Keep talking amongst yourselves, guys.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Don't stop till you get enough. Aaron, what about these days? What soundtracks are you into? What was the last video game soundtrack where you were like, I must own this?
Or maybe you just enjoyed while playing.
Honestly, one thing that comes to mind is the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack. That's such a really good...
The movie or the game?
The movie. It's such a really good... I mean, it's supposed to be... Its motifs are supposed
that
to be
true.
Video game reminiscent, but that's a soundtrack... As soon as I watched the movie, I went and bought it. It was really good.
It does sound very video game. It does sound very... What did you call it? Chiptune? Is that the name of the
chip
genre?
Chiptune? Yeah, that's the genre.
Mm-hmm. It sounds very chiptune-ish,
mm-hmm.
if I may use a word that you millennials are more than familiar with. That I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's news to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you say?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's news to me.
All right, here we go. Let's look at some of the...
Last week's.
I think another...
Oh, Rare Gamer, by the way, Rare Gamer, at Rare_Gamer,
mm-hmm.
he liked our conversation, and he said, anything by Grant Kirkhope,
mm-hmm.
David Wise.
Yep, who did Donkey Kong Country.
Dave Klinik, and then he has at The Real Beano and at Norgans here. We'll have to look them up, but my iPod is full of their music and played daily. Their music accompanied many moments of my life. And it's fair to say they made me who I am today. All legends.
Nice.
Ben Pi, as in 3.14, Pie Face Miller, mentioned a game called Napple Tale on the Sega, which I've looked into. the entire game was created by women. And I want to look into that game. But see, some of these are on different, you know, we have to dig into the YouTube and look for them because they're lost to the mists of time, a lot of these, which is unfortunate. The handsome voice, Adnan, our friend, he said Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Odyssey, Celeste, and Undertale.
Undertale Odyssey has a great soundtrack,
The Paper Mario soundtrack is really good, too. I like
A lot of the Nintendo games really
Joe,
have a solid soundtrack.
Joe Doubleheart at Big VGM Nerd said, anything by Yoko Shimomura and Jessica Curry, and right now I'm pretty enamored by the Detroit Become Human soundtrack. The composer should be proud.
It's the only good thing about it.
What, you didn't like the game?
Not really.
Wow.
Did you like Heavy Rain?
It was okay.
Then you weren't going to like Detroit Become Human.
No, I. It's... Yeah.
Mira's Brush at Mira's Brush sent us... They were working on a top 15 video game composers of the 80s list, and they have seven... They link to seven links on YouTube, so be sure to check that out. At Black Coat said they listen to the Dishonored soundtrack all the time. Mm-hmm. Great ambient soundtrack. Zant, Bowser's Road for Mario 64. Emilio Arias Abrego, I always wanted an orchestral arrangement of ActRaiser. Just like the first game, A Man Can Dream. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
Anything by Daisuke Ishiwatara.
Daisuke.
Oh, it's Daisuke. Yeah, you say it quickly.
Daisuke.
See, I said Daisuke. That's from Rat King, Nikki the Rat. We may have mentioned some of these before. Sonic Forces. That's from Rat Fro. What happened?
I don't remember the soundtrack because I played the game and it kind of just got blocked from my memory, so I can't recall. I'm sure the music's pretty good. Game, not so much.
What Jake is saying is he loves Sonic Forces.
You know what's also another
I played it.
Kirby's Adventure. That's a good one.
The first one?
Yeah.
I was just playing that with my daughter on the classic, Nintendo Classic. That thing gets stuck in your head, dude.
Yep.
That thing we had to stop playing because it was just in our head. Tim Fallon's Stuff. That's from Overclocked Remix.
I think Halo's got some pretty good music.
Yeah, just
that is where our Justine.
That's one of my favorite themes. That's probably my favorite theme to like a video game.
Fun fact.
It gets you ready to shoot some aliens.
What are you doing?
They've got like that really great, like.
It's epic. I've just never heard that in a video game.
Beautiful, manly.
I used to go over, when I was living in San Diego, I used to go over to my friend's house and he'd play and I'd sit there for hours with him just watching him play and listening to the music. And then I started playing because I loved it. Just that whole soundtrack.
Halo was great.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
Hello.
Didn't they just announced Halo 5 at E3 this year, right?
Halo 5 or Halo? Or no, Halo Infinite.
Infinite, that's yeah.
Brent from the Home Video Hustle, the theme from Sega CD version of Snatcher will always be my favorite piece of game music. It's called One Night in Neo Kobe City.
I think I know what that is.
You might. Yeah, Halo is such a great series for me growing up, too. You just feel like you're invincible. You're taking on an entire civilization.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is pretty sweet.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm into it.
I feel like I'm in an 80s movie.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like an episode of Miami Vice. This just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The buildup is great.
Did you order a pizza, man?
Extra bullets.
It's noirish while at the same time being kind of...
jazzy. And
yeah, that's really cool.
Upbeat. Yeah, I like
Thanks for that shout out. Thanks for that. We miss Brent.
Excellent choice.
So I'm going to have to look up... Please look up a lot of these composers because there's a ton of them. There's a ton of them out there. What else? What else do you guys
have? Oh, you know what? So I think someone mentioned it before, but Persona 5.
What does that mean?
Or Persona 6? Space.
The newest one?
The newest one.
Five.
Persona 5. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Great soundtrack, too.
I like.
I haven't played it yet, but I've heard some of the. I've heard some Persona of the soundtrack
or Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah,
it is so good.
Here's a little bit of. A lot of people mention this one.
What is it? Red Dead Redemption. No.
It's The Last of Us.
Oh.
Oh man, I'm so ready for that sequel.
That's
coming out this year or is it next year?
I don't know.
That is by Gustavo Santolaya.
I think the Telltale games, they have some pretty good music in them. Like the Batman one's really good. I like it.
Like Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, remember that game?
It's got some good soundtrack.
Remember that game?
Yeah, it's out.
What was the other one? Day of the Tentacle, what was the other one they had?
Monkey Island.
Monkey, there was another one. It was Lucas. Was it LucasArts?
Mm-hmm. Space Quest.
Space Quest was great.
Space Quest, there's like 50 of them.
What about the Forest Temple from Ocarina of Time? Oh, Sticker Brush Symphony made it here as number 86.
How dare they put it so low? Loved that one.
There's a lot of stuff.
I like Ori and the Blind Forest.
Mm-hmm.
What is that from?
It's a more recent title.
Yeah, but it's so beautiful when you're playing, and the story is so cute, and I like that game.
How do you spell it?
O-R-I.
Mm-hmm.
A-N-D, space, T-H-E, space, B-L-I-N-D, spaced, F-O-R-R-E-S-T.
And the blind forest.
Space.
You spelled forest wrong.
One R's or two? One R.
There you go.
Oh, did you say R-R-E? Yeah. Oh, Shadow of the Blind Forest.
O-R-I, or... Ori and the Blind Forest. Oh, it's so cute, that game.
It's a Metroidvania style.
I loved playing platformer. That one.
Speaking of which, the amount of Castlevania music that they're inserting into Smash Ultimate had its own segment in the announcement.
This the whole time, and then your cursor is this little orb.
Gareth Corker is the composer.
It's so good.
Keep talking over this beautiful music, Aaron.
So,
this is like...
Yeah.
This is pretty epic.
Yeah, this is great.
It's beautiful. The whole thing's beautiful. And then they get to like certain stories and the music changes and gets darker. Oh, so good.
So, jumping back into what you were saying earlier, like now video games have a more like cinematic feel to it.
Yes, that's what we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. It really helps.
Mm-hmm. It really helps convey mood and... give you a sense of, like, give you a certain feeling during certain situations. Like, when you'll play, like, God of War, they have this really epic, like...
I love God of War.
Yeah.
Really epic music playing behind it. Like, with Halo, they got this really grandiose orchestra playing behind you as you're shooting up aliens and stuff and making explosions.
One thing we didn't talk about, we talked about the source music in this game, but we didn't talk about the actual game, mm-hmm. is the background music to Fallout,
mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. And again... really good at setting the mood.
Really good at kind of putting you in that era, which I think is really great. So it's great. Music can do a lot of things. It can add a lot to a video game.
Yeah.
So we're listening to.
Convey mood, convey a certain setting.
I think that, emotion. You know, with the rise of, like, AR and VR, I think now more than ever that, like, composition and sound effects and all that, sound design in general... need to like step it up to keep up with, you know, that immersion.
Well, yeah, you have games like Fallout and like what's the other one? BioShock.
Yeah.
That are very atmospheric, mm-hmm. and you need something that kind of lends to that, and I think those are two games that really, really lend to it. And then the opposite of that is kind of like where you have a game like maybe Resident Evil or Silent Hill where the music is a little more sparse because you want these kind of moments of silence. Because you know something awful is about to happen.
Well, I think having music, having like a proper timing or proper stuff for that music in games like that is even more important.
And that falls on the director.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like directors who kind of put where this music's going to go. They decide what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And if you have a great director, then it's just like a film director. Because they're just like we saw in what we talked about in our other podcast today. Ennio Morricone makes these great... he writes his great operatic spaghetti western themes, but it's Sergio Leone ultimately who decides where they're going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And working together, it turns into something really, really beautiful.
Right.
Right, Patrick?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the same, I think the same can be said with the relationship between George Lucas and John Williams.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I just went to see Star Wars live at the Hollywood Bowl last night with the LA Philharmonic. And you just realize how tight that soundtrack is. And there's only two or three moments where there's no music going on. And they're always very, you know, it's to convey something. If there's no music going on, it's always to convey.
It's purposeful it's silence. Purposeful.
But every other thing is always like a little distance. And sometimes it's just hints of notes. And then when the music builds up, it's mm-hmm. these great moments. Like the first thing that really got a huge applause, aside from, first of all, they did the 20th Century Fox theme live, which was awesome.
Oh, cool. That's great.
And they did the Digital Movie Club theme live, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then they did the, you know, the Star Wars theme. That got a huge. But the Binary Sunset, you know, which is where
that's my ringtone.
When you first hear the Force theme, to hear that live, I literally got chills. And then the throne room scene was awesome. It was just so great and so loud. And it really felt, but they were playing so well, and that's such a tight soundtrack that at times you didn't realize you were playing. There it is. Somebody got a call. You didn't realize at times they played so well that you forgot. You forgot that there was the Philharmonic here because you're watching the movie and the music's adding, and you're like, oh my God, they're playing this live right now. They're not. So it was so awesome. It was such a. If you ever get a chance to see something like that, I think you guys said you've seen Harry Potter.
I saw Prisoner of Azkaban.
How was that?
That one is fantastic. Similar thing. It's just, you know,
was it magical?
I don't think it was the Philharmonic.
Was it spellbinding?
But I mean, just the fact that you know, it's cool. It's cool to hear the live rendition of, you know, a soundtrack that you wouldn't It's like you don't immediately think, oh, you know, this was all this work was put into mm-hmm. this, because you're like, you're watching the movie and you're focused on the movie. You're not thinking about the whole soundtrack and all the time it took to
do it.
That's
the thing about John Williams too, is his scores don't tend to draw attention to themselves. They mm-hmm. they add to the atmosphere of the movie. Look at Jaws. You know, I mean, you know the theme, but it's the shark. When you hear that theme, you know the shark is in the water. It serves the story.
I think my favorite thing about John Williams and his use of, you know, motifs and stuff is the difference between Han and Leia's theme and Han and Luke's theme, or Luke and Leia's theme. They sound so similar, but he changes up like maybe one or two instruments mm-hmm. on either of them, and it just completely shifts the tone.
Yeah. My friend Robert pointed out to me that he does that a lot, like John Williams does. Basically, the Imperial March is basically the funeral march, you know, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. He's like, literally, if you played it backwards, you would get the Imperial March. He's like, he basically just flipped it. So it's still something mm-hmm, menacing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, he's like, if you basically flipped it and played it backwards, you would get the Imperial March. Like, he's basically playing like the funeral march, but it has that sense of foreboding. And since you're hearing it backwards, it doesn't, you know it, but you don't know where you know it from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of those themes that just kind of lends itself to. I had a real chore trying to figure out whether I wanted to see Empire live or Star Wars live, and I ultimately chose Star Wars. But I would love to see Empire. It's playing. They're doing it tonight and Thursday.
Oh, man, that first star battle.
Let's get back to video game music. I just spotted a game from the Commodore Amiga. Which is a defunct computer system that was awesome, and I had it because this is from Shadow of the Beast.
Also, look up Guile's theme from Street Fighter.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm thinking back all the Marvel versus Capcom, the Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. There's some
Here's another great LucasArts game called Grim Fandango.
Yeah, it is a fantastic
game. I haven't played it. I have the remaster, and I haven't had a chance to play it.
So good.
Based on Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a
point-and-click adventure.
Kind of a detective. Like Sam and Max.
Ooh, Sam and Max.
Those were good ones, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I used to love all of those.
That's pretty great.
This is beautiful. I love this.
That is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like something you'd find in a... It was a...
Nice slow little tango.
Peter McConnell. I'm going to get that soundtrack.
Yeah, me too.
That is beautiful.
But it's so great that, you know, there's so much work that's put into it, and there's all these iconic sounds for different characters and different, you know, entire IPs or entire franchises that are based around a certain theme song, like Halo.
Yeah.
Halo, everybody knows the Halo soundtrack. Or you'll have, you know, Super Mario. Everybody knows the Mario theme song. So it's just, you know, all this work's put into it, and then it's cool to see the culmination of, like, you know, like that one song everyone knows.
Oh, feels so good.
Feels great, right? Oh.
I already feel like I'm in a different world.
World when someone can snipe you from across the map.
It's like the Mass Effect 2 soundtrack, too.
Yes, that's another great one.
I love the multiplayer in Halo. More so Halo 3. I spent hours and hours grinding out to get every single helmet in that game.
I think what's a shame is that, I mean, when you have...
Lindsay Sterling and William Joseph are the composers of the...
Oh, yeah. They're always really good at all those covers and stuff. What I was going to say is that it's such a shame that when you have movie adaptations of video games, like, the writing and, like, the direction aside, there's not really much to stand out when it comes to the sound either, which is such a shame, because I feel like that might have it should be easier to, you know.
Well, I think what happens is people just probably just go the game, because usually those games are, a lot of them are just a quick buck, and unfortunately, you know, it's not like Spider-Man that's coming out where they put like, or like Batman Arkham Asylum. It's like you play a movie based on a video game, and it's just like, I'm sorry, you play a video game based on a movie, and it's like, we're just going to take the levels and put them into a game. And so I think it's done really quickly. So they don't bother to commission a score. They just buy the rights to the music, and then they do it that way.
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of this, which is great in like a Star Wars game, because you're going to hear the same songs over and over. But we talked about Battlefront last time. That's an actual score that was made to sound like John Williams, and it's awesome because it adds to the game. One that we didn't talk about, a theme that we didn't talk about that I love, is this sweet baby. Let's see if you guys can spot this one.
Skyrim.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I heard from the drums in the beginning. I already know.
But this doesn't make you want to tear the head off a dragon.
I love this track. I've actually...
It's so manly and, like, you know, guttural.
It's great. There's a cover of this song by Peter Holland that I used in... I was a sound designer for a production of Macbeth.
Oh, yeah.
And I used this song for it. And the cover of this theme song.
I want you to watch a movie called The Hidden Fortress.
Okay.
No, it's not The Hidden Fortress. I want you to watch a movie called The Throne of Blood.
Okay.
It is Akira Kurosawa, the director of Seven Samurai, and it's his version of Throne of Blood, Macbeth, told in feudal Japan.
Okay.
It is awesome. You will love it.
What's it called again?
Throne of Blood.
Throne of Blood.
Throne of Blood.
Yeah, you will love it. They actually, at the end, they actually shoot the arrows at the main, at Macbeth, you know, at the end when the forest moves.
Yeah.
They do the whole thing. It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's black and white, really, really, it's great. Check it out. But that is a great, that is an inspired pick for the music.
Yeah.
When did you do it?
This was back in 2013.
And what part of the play was this for? When she's washing her hands? And it won't come out, and she's like...
Dun 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 dun.
She's scrubbing up to her elbows. And it's
I think it was the opening fight scene.
Mm. Very nice.
And then I think Macbeth versus Macduff, I forget who covered it, but it was I think I used a cover of something from Assassin's Creed.
I was just thinking, like, maybe something from Assassin's Creed.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed has some really great fight music.
Good. See, you guys are you guys would think of
very
that.
More upbeat and kind of
okay.
Quick.
So we watched a movie called Them for the Digital Movie Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Commodore Amiga had a game called It Came from the Desert, which I was obsessed with. You went to the desert, to this little desert town. It was kind of point and click, but there were little segments where you were. It's actually like, you know, you would control your guy and run around, but it was, a lot of it was point and click. You were an investigator. You were a private investigator in this desert town where people were disappearing, and it turns out they're being killed by giant ants. And let me see if I can find... The soundtrack is on here. Let me see if it has the opening to this game, because this actually quotes a quote from the Bible, which was quoted by... Them. And it was quoted in Them, so let's see.
Who's Them?
Quotes of quotes.
This is the opening theme.
The desert, unchanged for millions of years, yet witness to a biblical prophecy come true that one day the meek shall inherit the earth.
That was it. And this was the... Anytime you were outside investigating and you heard this music, you knew you were screwed. It's pretty great.
That music reminds me of the music for the video game Moonwalker. The Michael Jackson
game?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that game. I played that in arcades.
You just have 8-bit versions of his music.
Ooh.
And it
just kill everything on screen. It's
like
so funny.
The thriller level, that's a really good, that's some good music.
Who mentioned GoldenEye?
I did. This song.
This is the facility.
Yeah.
And this is very 90s James Bond.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's pretty good.
You gotta check the Guile theme. Guile's theme. Street Fighter.
Spell it.
G-U-I-L-E.
Oh, Guile.
Guile, yes. The only Guile. Ever. Come on.
Super NES?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this.
It's Kyle's theme song, man. Get you pumped.
I played this. I played
there's a guy who does an acapella cover of this, too, which is really cool.
I'm going to play this for Justine. We played it last week. But this is one of her new favorite movies. And it was actually a theme for a song for a game called
Finger.
I do listen to the podcast.
A game called Who Dares Wins 2, which is a ripoff of Commando, which we opened the song with. It was basically another version of that. This was the theme they chose to go with for Who Dares Wins 2.
That bass line.
What song is that, Justine?
That's when they're all doing the 4th of July, no?
That is the theme from, of course, The Great Escape. But I used to love that game.
Yes, August 21st, it's in theaters.
Are you going to go see it?
Yes, at 7 p.m.
Where?
Select Theaters.
I think it's only playing at the Harkins chain out here.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the one we saw was on Harkins. But I saw another one where it wasn't a Harkins one. So.
All right, we're going to have to go.
Who knows?
Yes.
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 I'm going to try and take as many people as I know to that because honestly, in. Everyone should love it.
I'm in.
Bum, bum.
I'm out.
Bum, 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 bum. Bye.
I already seen it. I don't need to see it again.
In theaters, you can cry with everyone else. It's so good.
Did not cry.
You didn't cry at all?
No.
Not even when the blind guy got it?
Nope. Wow. He didn't see it coming, so.
What about this one? What about this one? It's Bubble Bobble.
Why are you bouncing in your chair?
It was on the six. I played it on the Nintendo 64, but
hold on.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah, that
game. It's the Jesus.
Okay. Bum bum
bum bum ba da bum. Look up Bust a Move, game music.
Bust a Move.
Yeah, it's Bubble Bobble, the Bubble Bobble theme song.
Did you ever play Bust a Groove?
No.
Do you do any of those dance ones?
Bubble Bobble theme song. Do 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 do. Do, 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 do. I know, but it's the arcade one. Pew. Pew, 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 pew. That's what I'm doing. Look up Bust a Move game music. It's not it.
Oh, Bust a Move
theme. Yeah, just type in Bust a Move theme music and it'll say Bubble Bubble. Or Puzzle Bubble.
Or you can do Bust a Groove.
Puzzle Bubble.
I'll never ever run. You like learn all those stupid songs.
This one I always loved in the kids. Da, da, da,
da, da. Oh, I feel very, very irate. Yeah.
You just feel so happy, you just want to play. And then you get fucking frustrated because it's really hard.
It eases the pain.
It eases the pain because it starts off pretty easy. And then you just dump like $5 in quarters just trying to beat them.
You don't like the Tetris theme song?
That's just the Russian
waltz. We talked about that last time. Yeah.
Who wasn't here last time?
You.
Me.
You were the only one.
And Aaron.
Yeah.
You just kept the Filipinos out of it.
We did. Yeah. We have two Filipinos. Jalapenos. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, we have two.
It's like jalapeno, but Filipino.
Two Filipinos in the room. Don't look over my shoulder, please. Sit down. Don't look over my shoulder, please. Well, do you have any closing? We'll come back to this topic because people love it. They love the video game music. They have their favorites. We all have our favorites.
We should talk about video games more.
We will.
Especially because we're coming up to a really great time right now. A lot of good games are coming out this year. Now,
actually. Can you get the Azul soundtrack?
Abzu.
Azul.
Abzu.
Abzu.
Abzu. Abzu.
Played it for a short time, but it was still pretty magical.
Abzu. It was like a...
It's beautiful.
I can't remember. It was made by the same people who made Journey.
Don't stop.
It's like a water exploration thing.
Yeah, it's so cool. Are you talking about a video game right now?
One more thing I want to say is that going back to that Smash Bros. Announcement from this morning, I think it's really cool that it's such an amalgamation of Nintendo and video games in general, like as a whole.
That's what's always been fun about that.
And I think the cool thing about the music is this, the recomposing and rearranging of older scores that were in the 8-bit age, but now they're full orchestral versions of it that, you know, add to the action and the gameplay and the more cinematic
experience. It's kind of a bonus too. It's kind of a nice little bonus because you're getting those themes you love, but you're getting them done in a way where it's done with like an orchestra. And there's albums. There's whole albums.
Dedicated to covers and remasters. Yeah.
You have like the London Symphony doing video game music and stuff like that. So it just tells you how far we've come, you know.
And they've even done it where they'll do similar to how they'll do like Star Wars A New Hope. They have video game soundtracks. So they did...
There's a Zelda one.
They did a Zelda one. There was a Final Fantasy one that they had done a while back.
There's a Kingdom Hearts one that's touring right now.
Kingdom Hearts one that they do. There was a Pokemon one that they did where they do an actual full orchestral rendition of like all
so
of
mad
them,
I missed
all the
it.
Soundtracks.
While everybody's playing Pokemon Go in the audience, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. What?
Speaking of Pokemon, the music for Pokemon is really good too.
Okay, thank you.
No, I just forgot to mention it this whole time while we were talking about it. It's cool. I mean, each iteration has its own, you know, motif and theming and stuff, and it while also maintaining kind of that core sound.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's cool to listen to, like, you know, Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Red, and then listening to, you know, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon now, where it's like you still, the core, the themes, some of the core themes are the same, but they've evolved over time, which is really cool.
I mean, you have games right now like Undertale, which were, I think that came out on, like, Undertale wasn't, it's an indie game.
Yeah, it's an indie game. It was made by one person, and it came out 2015.
Is Undertale supposed to be an homage to Mother, right?
It's supposed to be an homage to Mother, and it's kind of like a different take on like the standard, or different take on like a JRPG.
Just creepy.
Yeah. It was like Earthbound, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's creepy and sad.
This is my daughter. She loves the music for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very 8-bit. It's by Toby Fox. This is the theme. She loves this game.
Yeah, and then you play all the bosses, and they're all
weird.
The boss mechanics are so cool, though.
Yeah.
They're so different.
Yeah. It's tough. Then if you don't get enough of the spider, give them enough donations, it's hard to beat the spiders.
I love it.
I don't have time with that.
You don't have time for that. What video game were you going to mention, Patrick?
Oh, I was going to say they finally fixed No Man's Sky.
They did.
What's up with it now?
It's actually enjoyable.
Pretty good now.
Is it fun, really? Yeah,
it's actually a video game.
Yeah, it's a full game.
Like a year after? What happened? Like,
this is like 2 years.
It's just okay.
It was an expensive demo.
Yeah.
It's this whole thing that a lot of companies are doing now, is where they're rushing their game out and then they're fixing it later.
No.
Except this was to an extreme where the game there was barely anything to do.
They promised multiplayer and they didn't have multiplayer.
Does the original have multiplayer?
Yes,
there's
it does.
Nothing. They made all these false promises.
Multiplayer is a DLC.
Patrick, let's play it.
Oh, Jake and I are playing it right now.
Just all these false promises, and now
how are you playing it?
No Man's Sky next.
Oh, you guys have it on PC?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dang it, I'm on PlayStation with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play with you.
Do you have it?
I can buy it, and
it's
I have a PS4.
It's on sale right now.
Oh, it's back up to $59.
Oh great.
So, like, they, for a while...
I bought it for
$30,
and I'm like, okay, I'm okay with
that. Damn, I should have bought it during that sale a couple months ago.
With it being so crappy, it went down to, like, $20.
Damn it!
And they're just like, yeah, they kind of put a wash on it, and
now everyone's
with the new update, everybody's buying it, and so they're like, well, it's $59
again. It's like a three-hour update.
Yep.
Dude, I bought it because I thought it was. I fell for the devil.
How mad were you when you first got it?
I didn't hate it because I like boring games.
It was fine. It's just you could play it. We played it for like a week, and then after that, we just couldn't do it anymore.
It's like, okay, I've done everything there is to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll wait for the update, and the updates never came. So it's like, eh. I mean, it's kind of like Sea of Thieves with you. You had that really fun week or two, and then it's just like, well, I've done everything there is to do, you know?
Yep.
Which. I love Sea of Thieves, but yeah, it's the same thing as with No Man's Sky, is that they show this thing and it shows so much promise, but what you get when you buy it is just the bare bones basics of the game. For that, they just, you know, oh, you can go out on an adventure and you can go get treasure and you go back and give treasure to this person and that's it.
Yeah.
Now they're finally adding where, you know, there are different like raids that you can do. You can go fight a megalodon. There's a new curse sale update right now where you can actually fight skeleton ships.
Wasn't that just in the original game?
That's what I'm saying. It's just because people put their game out before it's ready. I mean, it's fine if you put it out and then add stuff later, but give us something to do when the game comes out.
So they're doing the DC movie model. We're going to put out this movie, and we'll make it better when we put the DVD out.
Yeah.
It's been happening a lot.
And shaking his head.
People are complaining that, you know, if people are complaining about people buying the No Man's Sky now that it's updated and it's better now, because if they buy it, they're encouraging this kind of behavior of, you know, push the game out early, just get the bare bones out, and then start adding more stuff, more features later.
Yeah.
But if we don't buy it, then the people are saying the opposite might happen where, okay, well, people then are just going to put their game out and they're just going to let it be and not going to
work. I'm surprised people are buying it again because it's been 2 years.
It looks fantastic. You can do so much more.
I'm going to have to try.
You can make your own character.
I bought it. I enjoyed it. I mean, there's a lot more to do. You can actually customize your character. There's more ways to customize your ship. It has several branching stories that you can do.
Yeah, they were working on that last time I played it. I picked it up again like an update or two before this, and it was okay.
I think that's why
Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be worth it, as well as the Final Fantasy 7 HD remake. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never felt like
they're taking their time.
I've never felt like a Square game is incomplete.
Mm-mm.
It's like they've, you know, if anything, maybe we don't need 10 Final Fantasies. Mm. They're repetitive sometimes.
11.
Yeah, they're repetitive. Yeah,
the MMO that came out. But then they remade it and it was fine. And everyone loved it. Mm. Final Fantasy 14.
All right, so
I played that for a long time. It's great.
You got your Red Dead Redemption. What games are you looking for? You got your Super Bomber Man Bros.
Yes.
Anthem.
What other games are you looking for?
Anthem looks really cool. It's, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Red Dead 2.
Yes.
As I don't know if it's coming out this year or if it's early next year.
It's this year.
I don't remember.
Late this year.
Like October or November.
What's that one?
I'm going to have no money during the holidays.
I'm looking Battlefield and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Battlefield, Call of Duty 4, I'll probably check out. It's going to have a Battle Royale thing. Same with Battlefield. I think we'll have a Battle Royale too.
Justine, what are you looking forward to?
Great Escape in theaters.
August 21st.
She has low standards.
Yeah.
It is a great movie.
I
do want to see it on the big screen. I've never seen it.
Monster Hunter World is coming out for PC tomorrow. Even though it's already been out for like a fucking year.
Cyberpunk 77.
Great.
Yeah. I was excited from that from the second that they launched the teaser trailer like 5-6 years ago.
Oh man, that E3 announcement. So good.
It's like made from the same guys who made Witcher.
Quake.
Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
That's what I'm Last of Us.
A lot of good stuff coming out.
I know. Christmas time may just hit you in the pocketbook, man.
I know, because I end up buying half of them.
It's not gifts for other people. It's gifts
Resident Evil 2 HD remake.
That's right.
You know what else comes out at Christmas time? Huh? Board games.
You know what else comes out at Christmas time?
A lot of board games.
Tamales.
Yes.
Oh, my favorite.
So we'll have something unwrapped.
Brought to you by Northgate Market.
I was just...
Camp buttons.
What?
Brought to you by Northgate Market.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Tamales. Brought to you by Oh, don't forget to drink a Wink soda today. All right, guys. we're going to wrap it up. So we're gonna
always got to wrap it up.
What we're going to start doing is I'm going to put Jake to good... Here's the thing with Jake. Jake could be our video game correspondent.
But we really don't want him to.
But he only plays PC games.
Oh, man.
I play Switch. I don't have a PS4 and I don't have an Xbox One.
We need to get you one.
I need a PS4.
I have two Xboxes.
Sony
and Microsoft. PlayStations.
I will be upgrading to a PS4 Pro within the next like 2 weeks.
We're both pretty selfish.
So I need to offload my PS4.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Please send in
this
a...
This is the only way you're going to get a PS4.
Please tweet
Pro,
at Patrick, at PDMac. What is it?
779.
At PDMac779 if you want him to give his old PlayStation 4
I was just going to sell it to Jake for like 10 bucks.
All right.
Okay.
Jake, what's going on with that movie
pass?
I mean,
price is going to be negotiated. But.
Oh, no.
Dude, movie pass went fucking in the shitter.
Don't get mad. You got a lot of movies. I did get a lot of mileage out of it.
So I basically paid. I did like the full year
I'm
in advance.
I'm just going
to say. So I basically got my money.
I'm just going to say, I told you so.
You didn't say anything.
Yeah, I did.
Man,
I said
it
was going to go.
Oh, huh? You haven't heard?
They're going under.
They're going under.
The company's going under.
Now
they
you can only
pay for
get
a bunch of movies.
For something happened.
Three times a week.
So at first it was only you can't do first run movies now.
Yeah.
And then it was you can only do three times a week. Or three movies a week?
Yeah.
No, three movies a month.
Three movies a month.
What? Oh, hell no.
I called it.
Couldn't afford it.
Mm-mm. No, they were giving it away.
I mean.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, the theaters, maybe they're making money
true.
Off of your food.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, that ticket is expensive, so I don't know. That's weird.
Yep, they thought they were going to, I don't know.
I heard that AMC A+, whatever, I heard that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, but you have to go to AMC. I'm not close to an AMC, so.
Oh.
AMC, don't they have it as you get, a movie a month for free? And then you get heavily discounted on the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see IMAX or 3D with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then like I'm down.
So a movie a month that you can see like a free IMAX.
If it's not Dolby Atmos, I don't want to watch it.
Can I just get
you can do the same thing, right? I don't know.
A Patreon to watch or to download, what is it? Rent movies on Amazon?
You're not paying for it.
But still.
I know, we have to talk about this, because I feel bad that you guys are renting these.
No.
I still feel like you're making money off of us.
I mean, I bought all the Bond movies.
Jesus Christ, you didn't.
Uh-huh.
Why? All?
Yeah.
Every single one?
High five. All the ones we've seen so
high
far.
High five, dude.
All the ones we've seen.
That's yeah. commitment.
You decided just to buy it?
Like, there's no option to rent it.
Because you're going to watch them again anyway. It's you know you're going to watch
them. I'm probably going to watch them again.
You're going to watch them again.
I didn't have an option to rent.
You
so
and
I'm
Sandy
gonna
are going to be like, hey, honey, let's watch this one.
Does she like it?
Probably won't.
She has she seen them? No.
Ugh. What do you? How do you feel about James Bond movies, Aaron?
Do you find him sexy or sexist?
Or sexually sexist?
I have a love-hate relationship with the Bond movies.
Which is your favorite?
My favorite?
Who's your favorite Bond?
If it's not Man with the Golden Gun, the door's there.
I do like Man with the Golden Gun.
Because Christopher Lee is in it.
He's so good
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
He makes it great.
He does. He makes
he
that
does
movie.
Make it good,
but
it's
Sean
not a good
Connery's
movie.
Best.
It's not a good
he's
movie.
Got him in
the... He's truly.
Him in freaking, what's his name?
Tattoo? Hervavius?
Yes.
Hervavius.
Not the same without Ricardo Montalban there.
He's got him on.
Who is your favorite Bond?
My favorite Bond?
Choose wisely.
Bronson. What's that guy's name?
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce
no.
Brosnan.
Roger yeah, Moore.
Exactly.
No.
It's Roger Moore.
It's Sean Connery.
Honestly, I think this might be just because of recently, but I actually really do kind of like
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Because I like him too. He doesn't talk. It's great.
Yeah.
He just he stands like there and hits things.
Because I don't know. The ambiance like and the action of the newer films, I kind of really like a lot. And
Skyfall's great.
Loved Skyfall.
Man, Ralph Fiennes.
Is fine?
Yes.
Good stuff. He's a good M.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a jerk. You'll like the new ones for sure. You'll like the new Daniel Craig ones for sure.
It's more your speed.
I'm not, like, Casino Royale's like not very good, but like Skyfall's fantastic.
Casino Royale's way better than the...
Yeah, I would. Casino Royale is the only good Daniel Craig one.
What I think
Skyfall.
Is you're going to watch those and you're going to say, I can't believe this is the same franchise.
I didn't watch Spectre yet, but...
I did not see Quantum Solace
Spectre's
either.
Spectre's not good.
The reason you like Daniel Craig's is he doesn't use gadgets.
Okay. Which is funny because you still got the gadget guy. And he's just like, what do I do?
But it's usually like...
Punch him. Here's punch him in the face.
Here's a new HP computer.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything with gadgets for the most part.
It's all more
it's like real espionage.
Yes, it's very much real
espionage.
Why can't
they just Doctor Who it and make it a girl?
Jamie Bond?
I heard... Oh, I just saw an article. I didn't read it yet, but I saw a headline today that they're thinking about doing the next Bond either African-American or a woman.
Well, they mentioned Idris Elba last time.
Ooh, yes. Ooh. Yes.
I will stare at that all day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just saw him in
that was interesting.
Other Side of the Mountain or something? Or Mountain Between Us?
I'm not going to lie.
That was good.
She's great.
What if they casted Samuel L. Jackson?
Come on, look at Idris.
Yes!
He's too old.
Yeah, no. No, he'd be perfect.
You go from a mute James Bond to a chatty one.
Very chatty James Bond.
You said what?
Come on, look at him.
I know, he is a handsome
look at him.
Dude.
Look at that handsome man. Stare at him all day.
Idris Elba is a handsome man.
Yeah.
I like him in Thor.
Come on.
He in the Jungle Book as a fucking
what's his name?
Mowgli.
Bagheera.
Bagheera.
No,
yes.
Bagheera?
No, Bagheera.
Shere Khan.
He was not Shere Khan, he was Bagheera.
Okay, that's
Was he Bagheera?
Yeah,
Shere Khan was.
I saw that movie once and I was distracted by the way they sang I want to be like you. I couldn't
That's the best
be like
part.
You. I want to walk
best.
Like you.
Talk he did really creepy.
I walking love
creepy. Like you too.
I think the cool part about, just tangent, I think the cool part about that, about Christopher Walken in that movie and who he plays and how they wrote it is amazing. Because they write King Louis as like a Don.
Yeah.
And I think that works. And he's already a, like, in general, just a comedic character.
Yes.
So I see nothing wrong with that.
I think
that might be the best part of that movie.
Man
like,
Cub.
Yeah, I just
he
didn't like
scared
the way
me.
Sang
it. Scared me.
He's, I mean, he's,
it was
he's
terrifying.
Huge.
Well, the whole way he talked and everything, it just was terrifying to watch that.
Well, sometimes the motion capture in that movie is not the greatest. So it's kind of got that uncanny valley.
People were raving about it, and I saw it, and I was like, I can't believe people were it was fine, but people were like, oh my God, this is the best thing. But it might be because that's my favorite Disney animated movie.
I think it's did probably the best live-action Disney remake
got,
so far.
It's got Louis Prima in it, King Louis.
Yeah, of course. Better than Beauty and the Beast?
Absolutely.
What do you say? Best live?
Yeah.
What did you like better, Jungle Book or Beauty and the Beast?
Jungle Book.
I'll tell you this. They played the song to Beauty and the Beast for the trailer for the first time, and Justine cried.
It's the song, dude. I went to, when we watched Beauty and the Beast live at Hollywood Bowl, I freaking cried the whole time.
You're adorable.
It's the beginning scene. What that music.
Voice. Little I town. Think,
not that one.
It's a quiet village.
I think the thing that brings down Beauty and the Beast is a lot of the plot additions that, you know, they try
to correct their wrongs, yeah, and it was,
yeah, it's almost like they don't care about suspension of disbelief. They want to make it as, you know, like realistic as possible,
and it doesn't work. That's actually a good observation. You gotta let it go with this stuff sometimes,
and that's, and it, I think it creates more plot holes.
I love you guys. This has been a great show. We got off our original topic, which is video games, but that's okay. That's what we do on the show.
We wrapped around it a couple times.
Aaron, thank you for joining
that's
us.
That's what she said.
Thank you for having me.
Justine, thank you for that late joke. Jake, thank you for your insight.
Thank you.
Patrick, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
So we're going to say our goodbyes. And we will say, of course, so that this transmission ends now.
Farewell.
And
live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper, and fight the power. We're going to close with a remix of a song from Mega Man 2 called Crash Bomb.
Yes.
Nice.
This is by Game Chops. And if you're not dancing by the time you hear this, by the time this ends, you're wrong. So for everybody else, for Jake, Justine, Patrick, Aaron, and myself, this transmission ends now.